Well, welcome back to another Political Perspectives on WFSU-FM, also WFSU Public Media, Facebook Live, and for the folks on Comcast Channel 4 for FSU, welcome aboard as well. I'm Tom Flanagan, and you are always invited to be part of Perspectives via phone and email when we're on the radio at 850-414-1234. If you have any questions for our guests here today, perspectives@wfsu.org is the email, and some folks may be still on landline. If you got one of those and it still works and you are distant from us, you can call 800-926-8809. This Perspectives episode being telecast this evening, Tuesday, the 16th of October at 7 o'clock Eastern Time on 4FSU, which can be seen in Leon, parts of Gadsden, and Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. Still some ongoing issues with cable, we understand. Also live streaming, as we mentioned, on our WFSU Media Facebook page. And we invite you to hang around online after the live radio program goes off the air at noon. Just for a couple minutes, we'll continue the discussion on Facebook Live. Again, just for a few moments. Our entire program, including the extended conversation, to be archived on WFSU.org/perspectives. We're talking to folks who are contending for Tallahassee City Commission. We talked to the folks who are involved with the seat 4 race yesterday. That's the mayor's race, and today it is seat 3, and we welcome by telephone, for reasons that will become apparent in just a moment, Lisa Brown, one of the finalists. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excellent. Thank you for having me.
It's good for you to join us by phone. We also have in studio Jeremy Matlow. And Jeremy, good to see you again, sir.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Okay. Lisa, a little bit of introductory stuff about you here. And then if you want to also add why you are not here with us in the flesh rather than telephonically, you can go right ahead.
Absolutely. Great. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Lisa Brown, and I am the president and CEO of Tallahassee Leon Federal Credit Union. I am a third-generation Tallahassean. I put myself through school getting my MBA when I had two little kids at home and I was working full-time. And also, as the CEO, have experience working with multimillion-dollar budgets. But more than that, I help people with their personal finances every single day. And so I have the opportunity to see the struggles that folks have to make ends meet. And I think now more than ever, especially with the storm coming through, you know, we've had an opportunity to really reach out and help folks. We've worked hard. We got a $1.8 million grant for low-income families 2 years ago that's provided $15 million worth of economic vitality to the south side of Tallahassee. And I love spending time in our community teaching, doing things like teaching kids all about money. We have a summer camp every year teaching kids about money. And I think more appropriately right now, some experience that I think is relevant is I spent the last 3+ years on the Citizens Advisory Committee for the City of Tallahassee's utilities, which is pretty important. And I guess that leads into why I'm not in there in person today. I'm not there in person because I've been helping with we were able to successfully get our credit union up and running and helping members here locally Friday morning first thing. And so I've been splitting my time between approving loans for folks here and getting folks access to cash. And then also have spent the last 5 or so days working with the state of Florida's EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, helping credit unions across and financial institutions in general across the affected areas, getting reestablished, getting branches established. I spent most of the day on Saturday leading a convoy of 18-wheelers, diesel trucks with gas and big generators and everything to try to help their offices get reestablished. So it's been quite a couple of days in my world.
It's been quite an adventure for all of us. Thank you, Lisa Brown.
I think so.
Jeremy Matlow, a little bit about you, sir, and then again, maybe some of the things that you've been involved with in the aftermath of this tragedy here.
Yeah, sure. I'm Jeremy Matlow, running for Tallahassee City Commission, seat 3. I lived in Tallahassee my whole life. I was raised by a single mother of four. Built my business, Gain Street Pies here. Grew from a few $1,000 investment to over 85 employees. Started my family here. We just had our second son about 2 weeks ago. So between that and the hurricane, if I look or sound a little tired, I probably am. But we're getting through. I never really thought I was going to run for office. But I do believe we can be a better city than we are today. When we see city commissioners that seem more responsive to big money donors than they are to the people in our neighborhoods, when we see gubernatorial candidates launch campaigns based off racist remarks, when we see a president have a rally and openly mock sexual assault survivors, it seems like we can't just sit idly by. We need to step up. And if we're able to, we need to do the best we can and actually kind of change the direction of politics in our country, state, and city, which is why our campaign decided to do things differently. We haven't gone the typical route of, you know, taking $10,000 of stacked checks from developers. And we reached out to the community on things that I think they care about and they want to see done in the city. And we found is when you do that, it actually works. So we've had over 800 individual contributors contribute to our campaign, over 100 volunteers knocking doors every weekend. You know, we've raised more money than anyone in this campaign. We came in first in the primary. So I think we're changing the way campaigns work in Tallahassee because you can do it the right way. You can do it the way that is puts the citizens first, and I think people will respond to that. And we don't need to just have our city at the power of big money. As far as the hurricane, you know, I've been juggling a family with a newborn, our four restaurants, and you know, our recovery efforts for the city. You know, we've been fortunate enough to get all that taken care of. We got our restaurants open up the next morning. We started doing food too on Orange Avenue and people who really just couldn't find a hot meal, as well as people coming in to charge their phones and that sort of thing. You know, we took a crew out with chainsaws and helped clear the neighborhood. And, you know, this week we just committed to do $10,000 of hot food to areas around the panhandle that are still struggling as we recover here. So there's a lot of work to do. Anybody who is available to help, I know there's volunteer efforts all over the place. If you can make a run to an affected community, you know, let us know. We can get you in touch with somebody who can get you some supplies to get out there.
Well, as city commissioners, you have an advisory responsibility when it comes to the entire warp and woof of city government, which would include Tallahassee's utility, which besides supplying power also supplies revenue to the city for various services that are provided. While we're with you, Jeremy, and then over to Lisa, would you bring any additional considerations to your fellow commissioners and the folks in the electric utility if you're elected, following this storm, saying, hey, have we looked at this? Have we looked at that? What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think these storms are going to be coming increasing in number. I mean, this is starting to look like the new normal for our area. So I do think there's strategic things that we can do. I mean, obviously, we can't just bury the entire city's power lines, but I think we can set goals and make sure every new development is burying the lines. And then, you know, whatever our community feels comfortable spending per year, let's commit to bury a certain amount of miles per year. Let's commit to burying the lines that get hit the worst, the most often. And I think we can speed up the recovery. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think they've done an exceptional job this year. I know there are people still without power. I just got mine back last night. I know day 4 or 5, you start to feel a little bit primal with coming home to black street, you know, dark streets and taking cold showers. You know, it's so great to get back. And I know there's, you know, a few people in our community that are still experiencing that. And it's really easy to feel like you're kind of left behind when everybody else is getting back to normal. So we need to get them up as quick as possible. But I think we've done a really great job from where we were for Hermine and how we the systems they put into the place to get us back online this time.
Okay, Lisa Brown, same question. Lessons learned. What do we do going forward in your way of thinking?
Yeah, actually, I don't disagree with pretty much anything Jeremy just said, to be honest. As a part of the Citizens Advisory Board to the utilities, you know, we recognized, that committee recognized after Hermine that there were some serious concerns about the way that things had been handled and how quickly we were able to respond, you know, to those outages. And so we asked for a study to be done and kind of, you know, we call it kind of an autopsy done afterwards, you know, saying, okay, what do we do right? What do we do wrong? Not for the purpose to you know, to criticize. I think, you know, we've got some of the hardest working and and most experienced and skilled linemen and team that in the state. I mean, they win competitions every single year for their professionalism. So, you know, we've got a lot to be proud of. I think the frontline folks really, you know, work incredibly, incredibly hard. But as leaders, we've got to take the opportunity to, you know, do an analysis and say, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? Because we just want to, you know, have continuous improvement. We always want to do better than we did yesterday. And that should be the attitude that we have going forward. So we requested that. And we've also requested, you know, cost analysis of the process of, you know, how much can we go underground and at what pace without straining the, you know, the budget process, not only from, you know, taking from other programs, but, you know, the other option, of course, would be to raise, you know, electric bills. And you know, that's not something that we need to be, you know, looking at right away. I don't believe. But that, again, that's something that, you know, we would be looking for feedback from the community on.
Okay, thank you very much, Lisa. We appreciate it. We want to hear from you, too. We do have many different ways for you to interface with this conversation as we continue our chat with Jeremy Matlow and Lisa Brown, both candidates for Tallahassee City Commission Seat 3. You can give us a call if you are listening to us live on the radio right now. 850-414-1234 is the number for that. We also have an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. And this program, of course, being telecast also tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern Time on 4FSU Comcast Channel 4, streaming live on our WFSU Media Facebook page, where we'll continue this conversation a couple minutes after our sign-off on the radio at 12 noon. And the entire conversation will be archived on WFSU.org/perspectives. More questions and comments and answers yet to come. Stick around. Welcome back to yet another Political Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. The Tallahassee City Commission Seat 3 finalists, Lisa Brown and Jeremy Matlow, up with us here. From email comes this query from Mitchell, who says, good morning. I have two questions for the City Commission candidates. First question, from the years 1968 to 2018, a total of 1,400 people have been arrested with marijuana-related offenses by the Leon County Sheriff. Would you as a city commissioner work to dismiss convictions related to marijuana-related crimes in the city? And question number two, homelessness is a sad reality for some. What would you do to work to help the homeless find homes and hold dignified work? Let's start with you, Lisa Brown, on those two. What do you think?
Oh, goodness, these are big questions. Well, I think that we need to obviously support a lot of the organizations that are doing such good work in our community, taking a look at, you know, the resources that the Kearney Center provides, as well as so many others, and really helping folks transition from those areas up into the, you know, we've got the ALIS population, I think, also that so often gets, you know, ignored and neglected. And ALIS population is that asset-limited group that basically we call those kind of the working poor, actually. That's something that I've been advocating for years. Again, that goes back to the grant that I applied for. You know, federal grant that we received a couple years ago, you know, providing financial, this isn't about necessarily about providing, financial education as it is financial access, as well, access to capital, access to jobs, making sure that we've got good paying jobs here, and access to educational opportunities that help folks fill those needs in the job market. There is no silver bullet here. We've got to look at all of the different aspects. We also need to be addressing affordable housing. I sat on, an affordable housing board for many years, and so there's so many resources there that we need to be looking at. We need to be talking about how best we can spend our CRA money specifically in looking at the affordable housing option. I'll be sitting on that board going forward as well. So there are many, many dynamics. This is certainly a multidimensional issue that requires, multidimensional solutions. There's not going to be one silver bullet to address this.
Okay. And on question one, there, can the Tallahassee City Commission have any kind of legal impact on past or present prosecutions when it comes to marijuana-related crimes?
I personally believe that we need to decriminalize marijuana. But as far as going backwards, I think that's something that we need to look at. I don't have a real strong opinion about that right this minute. I think it's something that we need to explore, though.
Okay, fair enough. Jeremy Matlow, same questions are relating to the homeless question that Mitchell posed, and also the marijuana. Deconviction? Maybe that's a term. I don't know.
I believe in 2020, legalization is going to be on the ballot, and I believe it'll pass. I think the war on drugs has been a complete failure. We have the largest prison population in the world, and so many of these are these drug convictions. And I don't think marijuana is typically abused, but drug abuse, other types of drugs, is really a mental health or not a mental health issue, but an addiction issue that we should be treated not as a criminal offense. And that's kind of my view on all that. I don't think there's anything we could do at the city level to vacate those convictions, but we're going the wrong direction. We got to make sure we're not putting people in jail or prison because of marijuana at all, and then work with the partners we can to really move the needle and get people out of prison. Like, a private prison industry isn't good for people, and we need to move away from that. As far as homelessness, this is kind of a personal issue for me. My family has battled with homelessness off and on growing up. My father actually spent the last years of his life in and out of shelters as an alcoholic. And a lot of times what we don't see from homelessness is these people struggling with addiction or a mental illness. I have a schizophrenic brother who has the same sorts of problems. And I really think we need a holistic approach. We need to put housing first. We need better access to healthcare and all these things that get people into that position. And I think we can do that locally. We have the resources to do it. We have the resources as a state and as a country. We just need to say, no, we're not. Leaving people behind is unacceptable. This is the path that we need to go on. Our business works closely with Going Places Street Outreach to bring supplies and pizzas out to camps, homeless communities across the city, to people who aren't looking for help but need help, and they actually go out and find them. So that's a great program to work with. And, I'd support more things like that and more efforts to kind of reduce that population.
We're going to the phones. And that number, by the way, is 850-414-1234. If you'd like to speak to Lisa Brown, Jeremy Matlow, are both of our candidates here for Tallahassee City Commission seat 3. Why don't we start with Leona on line 2. Lida, let's go with that. Hi, Leona. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I had a question for Mr. Matlow. You said something about you needed volunteers to help assist in giving out food. How would we get involved with that?
You can send me an email directly at jeremy@jeremymatlow.com. Now we're organizing runners of food, and we're also working with a group who's bringing laundry back from Blintstown to get it washed and then brought back to people so they can have clean clothes as well.
Okay, awesome. I will do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call there, Leona. Let's go on to line four. I think Matthew was up next here on Perspectives. Hi, Matthew. Welcome.
Hi there. How are you?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks for calling.
Glad to hear that you're all out here talking. I really appreciate the conversation. My question is for Ms. Brown. First of all, thank you for coming out. I just wanted to inquire what you meant by "I'm a banker, not a bartender." I cleaned up a lot of piss and vomit for about a year, and I'm actively supporting candidates in the local race. And I'm just curious why that language was thought to be appropriate for our city's discourse. That's really about it.
Okay, Lisa.
So I can understand your concern. The direct comment was intended to have a conversation regarding, and please understand, you know, we're very, very limited in the amount of time that we're given when we're speaking. And so it was meant to have a conversation about, number one, the professionalism, the difference kind of in my professional background. And then, you know, look, my brother's a bartender. It was in no way meant to be derogatory. It was meant to kind of talk about my professionalism, and then to kind of follow up with that, also to have a conversation about, you know, bar closing time. Look, I've got two college-age kids, and I know that nothing good happens after midnight. My kids, I don't want them out after midnight. And I mean, I'll compromise with a 2 a.m. Bar closing time, but you know, I think that's kind of the industry standard. But you know, that's just an issue that's kind of been out there. So it's something that has concerned me. So that was the reason that we brought that up.
Okay, Lisa, fair enough. Mr. Matlow, did you take offense to that? Or
yeah, I'd like to respond to that because, you know, a lot of people have called me and asked about that comment. And, you know, I think it's just the difference between our two campaigns. We're a campaign of working people. Martin Luther King Jr. in Memphis said, "This city will respect the dignity of labor." You know, too often we get focused on so-called professional jobs, and we overlook everyday working people because, quite frankly, every piece of the puzzle matters. The dishwashers at our restaurant, if they stop working, the whole place comes to a close. So we really, the dignity, you pay somebody a decent wage, and no matter what the job is, it takes on dignity. And, you know, for a candidate for city commission to view herself as better than an everyday working person, to me, that's not the type of leadership we need. We need somebody, a real responsible leadership and the type of professional leadership that's going to bring our whole community together and not demean a profession. Because I think there's a lot of bartenders and people in the service industry working really hard. And I think, you know, you say you can judge a person's character based on how they treat the wait staff. And I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, okay. And we have to move on. But Lisa, any rejoinder to that? And then we'll take off on other things.
Well, I'll just follow that up by saying I've done plenty of time. I was a waitress at Village Inn, so I've worked my way up to where I am. By no means was I intending to be derogatory. I've done every single job as it is today. If there is a toilet that needs to be plunged in my office or anything else, that's what gets done. And I think that if you asked any of my team the way that they're treated and the way that I treat my members, I think that you would see that in no way am I a condescending kind of person.
So. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about something that is, part and parcel of the ongoing, shall we say, perceptual problem that perhaps City Hall has been laboring under for quite a while. And that is, and you had mentioned it a few moments ago during one of your remarks, Lisa, the CRA, the Community Redevelopment Agency, and the city of Tallahassee will continue to be involved in both aspects of that, the Frenchtown, Southside part of the CRA, as well as the downtown part. The county has bailed on the downtown part here. But going forward, how do you see those discussions or the kinds of priorities that you would advocate for that mechanism to drive more productive development and opportunity and all that in our town?
Well, I think we need to draw the distinction between blueprint money and CRA money. CRA money is meant to address blight And I believe that CRA money should be primarily focused towards issues like affordable housing, issues like addressing crime. Those are the areas that I think that we need to be focused on with that. I think that when we start talking about economic development, look, I actually have a certification. I'm an international I have an international certification as a development educator. So I have official training in how to address development issues, issues like housing, hunger, transportation, education, women's issues, things like that. And so that background and the experience that I have doing that tells me we can be using our blueprint money to sort of, I'd like for us to have a deeper conversation about our definition of economic development and how we can be using the blueprint money to move forward.
Okay, and Jeremy Matlow, you are in a part of the world there in your business that has seen an awful lot of redevelopment. I mean, the Gain Street of today is not the Gain Street of even 10 years ago. It's been a remarkable turnaround. But how do you see the CRA thing playing out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a journey. We opened our first business on Gain Street, Oldfields Clothing, before the road construction. You know, we cut the bars off the windows down there. It's good to see that area revitalize. The CRA, I think, can be a powerful tool in addressing blight, helping people get out of poverty, and really growing value in our communities if it's done the right way. You know, we took advantage of a small business loan program from the CRA. We borrowed $10,000 at low interest to get our restaurant open, and now we have four. I think that's a really good return on the investment from the CRA. I think we need to take a step back because people see big projects going up and big projects going up, and they go, well, what about the community? Why are we not investing in the neighborhoods? And we're not doing a good job of showing and picking the right projects to say, this money put this much money into the CRA coffers, and we're bringing it to your neighborhood to invest in your streetscape and your lights and to make the housing situations better. We're not investing in enough small startups and locally owned projects. You know, I believe if we enable local people to purchase and renovate properties who are already in these communities that need help, you know, they're the people who are going to respect design standards and what the neighborhoods want. And they're also the people who are going to create jobs for the people who actually live in those neighborhoods, and we're not just building on top of them. So I think it's a powerful tool. We need to keep it. We just need to utilize it in a better way that helps the community the most.
850-414-1234, the number that David called. He's been waiting on line three. Let's get to him now. Thanks so much for your patience, David, and welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. So I know that it's a nonpartisan race, and not to zoom out too much, but basically I'm really concerned about what's going on overall in the country. You know, I voted for Obama, and basically I just want to know if you support now or at any time have supported Donald Trump and his presidency.
Okay, well, we'll go around here. Let's back off. Start with you, Jeremy, and then Lisa.
Yeah, you know, I know. I haven't supported Donald Trump as president or, you know, in his election. You know, I know Lisa held a fundraiser at the same place Donald Trump held his fundraiser in town and has a lot of the same backers. I don't know how she feels about the president specifically, but I know the people who support the president certainly support her.
Okay, Lisa?
Absolutely. As a woman, I have not supported Donald Trump.
Okay. Jacqueline wants to know, let's see, and this is for you, Lisa. It says, how can citizens trust you, Lisa Brown, to work in the public interest when you've taken so many thousands of dollars from developers who have contributed to pollution and sprawl? And that's from Facebook.
So, well, I guess I have two comments on that. The first one would be that, look, they support me, not the other way around. I sometimes you can't choose your supporters. We'll put it that way. And the other thing that I would say is that I have a 26-year career with impeccable ethics and impeccable reputation for, you know, not only doing the right thing for people, but in going above and beyond to try to help people that are in situations that I can do things about. And so I find it very offensive and hurtful to think that I will suddenly compromise my ethics at this point. In all of the races, you will not find another candidate that has the kind of built-in background that I do. I mean, my personal finances are looked at by no less than three outside independent parties routinely. It could be as often as once a quarter. To try to suggest that, somehow or another, I'm going to personally benefit from, working with developers or anything like that is just crazy. The only reason that I'm doing this is because I believe that I can make this city a better place. This is my hometown. This is where I was born and raised. This is where my mother and father were born and raised. And so it just, I'm here because I want to do the right thing by Tallahassee.
Okay, Lisa, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick time out here momentarily and then continue our conversation with the two finalists for Tallahassee City Commission Seat 3. We just heard from Lisa Brown and Jeremy Matlow is here with us too. And you are invited to always be part of the conversation, either by going to WFSU's Perspectives email address, which is perspectives@wfsu.org, or calling us 850-414-1234. We'll be right back in a moment. We are back on Perspectives Tallahassee City Commission Seat 3 in a program note. Tomorrow it'll be City Commission Seat 5, which is Diane Williams-Cox and Bob Lotain here at these microphones to talk about their candidacy for the job. Mr. Matlow, you wanted a quick response here.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to that. I think kind of just reminds me of Marco Rubio's famous response to the NRA. They buy into my agenda, but, Why do big business, why do political committees, why do corporations pump so much money into campaigns if it's not for some type of influence? So I think, we are seeing a shift. People in Tallahassee voted for a $250 contribution limit, and I think you're free to take $250 from anybody who wants to give to your campaign. But when you have people circumventing the will of the people to really stack, $5,000-$10,000 at a time, to me, I mean, maybe that doesn't influence you, but I do believe there's a reason people give those amounts of money. And, we're happy to say the only people we'll be accountable to are everyday people who have funded this campaign, and probably be over a thousand of them by the time we're done.
Okay. And Lisa Brown, again, to be fair, let's let you respond to that, and then we'll go on to other things.
Well, I mean, I think that it's I think when you talk about the number of folks that have, I think that Jeremy is referring to that he's, raised the most money, but he's actually put in the most money. It's not, and quite frankly, I would question the reasoning behind putting I'm not independently wealthy. I don't, have $100,000 to put into a campaign on my own. I worked to get where I've got. I'm putting two kids through college. So, the fact that I'm trying to understand the how if you put $70,000 or $80,000 of your own money into a campaign for a $30,000 a year job, how that actually kind of weighs out. I think it's very noble if that's the real reason behind it.
Okay.
Respond to that.
All right.
Yeah, certainly. And, I think, the money that I put into my campaign, this is money that was made $3 pizza slice at a time. It's money that came from the community, and I see the direction of our city, and I'm fortunate to be in the position I am and to be able to contribute to my campaign.
in the way that I have and to really give back to our community. And I don't think to say you can take $70,000 in developer or big interest money is somehow more noble than, you know, putting in money. I mean, I know I'm going to be accountable to myself and it was my own money at the end of the day. But I mean, even outside of my personal money, I've raised more money in small dollar contributions than my opponent. So, I mean, it would be disingenuous to say that, you know, my money is somehow, you know, really what's putting us over the top. I think it really is our messaging, and people are ready for a change in direction at our city that really respects working people, respects our neighborhoods. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to break that cycle. And, you know, when I'm city commissioner, that's the perspective I'm going to bring to the table.
Well, I'll tell you what, whomever gets onto the Tallahassee City Commission in all three of these races, this might be a really productive discussion to have. An agenda for at least one meeting and possibly even a workshop is campaign finance reform at the local government level, because we know what has occurred at the national and at the state government levels as well. Bill has been waiting online, too. Let's go to him right now on our political perspectives. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to hear what agenda the city of Tallahassee would have towards a few Florida A&M universities. And my understanding of college, the development of college towns connected to FSU, which I believe is very appropriate, the city of Tallahassee had a lot to do with facilitating that. I would like to hear what the future of Florida A&M University is with regard to future development and the way that institution could be made into an economic engine for the less advantaged residents of the South Side.
Okay. Jeremy, you had the last comment. So, Lisa, you want to tackle that one there, the city's connection to FAMU and how that can be advanced.
Yeah, I think that we need to, well, first of all, one of the ideas that I'd had you know, months ago was to really look for ways that FAMU might be able to partner with other, you know, be it national level partners or thinking along the lines of the Navy, other areas where we can really try to bolster some, just like we're talking about partnering, you know, the Mag Lab at FSU with various opportunities. So I think there are ways that we can have those conversations, but I think that what I've learned, you know, in my career is the best leaders are those that bring people together and let the ideas be from the people versus from the leaders. And so I think the most appropriate way of doing this is to make sure we have all the right people at the table to have that conversation, be it leaders from FAMU itself, leaders from economic development groups around the country, and even around the world.
Okay, Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with that. I think the city, you know, we did put substantial investment into FAMU Way, and there's more that we can do, but it needs to be paired with private partnerships and the college. I mean, look, we all need to start working together, the county, the city, FAMU, and really see how we can move forward. Our campaign is proposing a municipal-owned fiber optic broadband network to really up the internet activity and the high speeds and really put our city on the cutting edge. And I think FAMU would be a great partner in that. And we could start that sort of program on the South Side that's, you know, historically been kind of left behind in infrastructure. You know, we're going to be investing a lot of blueprint money coming up in the next 2020. And I think we should be targeting areas around FAMU and especially on the South Side of the city and places that have been not just getting left behind an investment, but have decades and decades of lack of investment, and we need to play some catch up. So I think there's work we can do, and I think FAMU would be a great partner with the city in doing that.
One of the things that Bill mentioned that could shotgun us into another discussion here, folks, and that is attacking the income disparity in the community, and that isn't just our opinion. Forbes magazine, among several other sources, had already pointed out that in Tallahassee, Florida, the gap between the highest income and the lowest income folks is incredible. incredibly substantial. And whether it's developing more entrepreneurs, luring more business and industry to this town, job training, so you have turnkey workforces ready to go when new businesses may come calling, all of that sort of thing. Starting with you, Jeremy, and then over to Lisa. How do you put that whole package together, possibly by just the city alone or in conjunction with the school system and the county? What do you do?
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's important to note we didn't get here by accident. You know, these are lasting legacies of the Jim Crow era and, you know, a lot of what I would say unequal decisions that we have made since. So, one, we do need to focus in back to investments, but we need to invest in kind of, like you said, the you know, job programs. I think the CRA is a powerful tool in enabling and bringing wealth and really diversifying our community. But, you know, poverty, you know, this is an issue that we've talked about since December when we first got in here. The first ad we released was, you know, my experience growing up on the South Side. You know, my sister gave a really emotional testimony of kind of, you know, her experience from it. And, you know, I've been able to see it from both sides. And largely people on the North Side, they do. They drive to work downtown and they drive back. And, you know, I had people come to me and say, oh, I didn't even know poverty like this existed in Tallahassee. And that's how far removed we are. So we need to make sure we're one, continuing the conversation. A few years ago, if you said economic segregation, you know, nobody wanted to talk about it. They wanted to do studies to prove that it wasn't true. But I mean, I'm telling you, it's true. You can drive around and see. So we need to, the county talks about it. The school system talks about it. You know, the schools are a large driver of where people of means want to live so they can send their kids to them. And, you know, the whole system is messed up. And we need to sit down with the county, the city, the school board, and when Andrew Gillum's governor, even the state, and see how we can invest in our community to really kind of undo some of the wrongdoings of the past.
Okay. And Lisa Brown, as a city commissioner, what would you do on that?
Yeah, again, it's really funny. I think, you know, Jeremy and I actually don't disagree too terribly on some of the issues and some of the ideas going forward. I think, you know, when we start talking about, you know, I mentioned this before, when we start talking about economic development, we start talking about, you know, truly moving the needle. And when we talk about moving the needle on poverty, we're not just, you know, all of these things go hand in hand. We also are talking about how we're addressing crime. We're also talking about how, again, it's not a silver bullet. So, you know, I'll go back to a couple of the things that I mentioned before. You know, we really need to be talking about job creation and job skills training. One of the things that our credit union did I guess starting about 3 years ago, is we worked with actually Andrew Gillum's office, and worked with Dustin Daniels on a project called IO Avenue. And that is a project that we provided the financing for, because Tallahassee is a tech hire city. We're designated as a designation that we received. And what that interpreted to is that we discovered that there were 600 tech jobs here in Tallahassee that were currently unfilled. We didn't have qualified candidates that had the skill sets required. So we worked with Domi. And Domi was able to provide the boot camp, the training that needed to take place, and that training then prepared these folks for their for the jobs that were being lined up. So that was the coordination that was taking place at City Hall that said, let's get the employers partnered with the training. But what was missing was there was no way to be able to provide options for when you're doing training programs like this. There is no Pell Grant available. There's no student loans available. There's no option. So unless you had, you know, $6,000, $10,000 to go drop, and you know, look, if I'm a single mother of two, you know, that's not money I just have laying around. And so taking that money and or being able to offer that financing at rates that were, you know, right in line, if not better, than current student loan pricing, just because it's important for our community to be able to provide opportunities like that. I really see that that's where City Hall plays a role, and that is the, you know, developing those public and private partnerships and kind of getting everyone working together towards the common goal. It's really getting the information out there and bringing everybody together to solve the challenges that we have in front of us.
Well, speaking of City Hall, Lisa, that's also where the Big Bend Environmental Forum will be holding its rescheduled candidates forum coming up next Tuesday, October 23rd, starting at 6. And Cliff on Line 5 had wanted to know the views of the both of you guys on climate change. So we'll just give everyone a couple seconds to do that. I know it is an overarching global issue, but a lot of folks are really interested in hearing how their city commission folks think about it. So your views on climate change, Lisa, we'll start with you.
Well, certainly. I think this last week tells us that we've got some challenges here. My time, again, spent on the city's utility advisory board, I actually had the opportunity to be involved in bringing the new solar farm to over to the airport and offering that as an option to residents that maybe either couldn't afford to put solar panels on their roofs, couldn't afford to, or, you know, maybe they have trees in the way and they just didn't have an option of having solar at their homes. And we were really excited to see that program was sold out within the first 90 days of it being offered. And so, you know, it's just only one example, but there are plenty of examples that over the last 3 or 4 years that, we've really, as a member of that committee, have pushed forward in trying to bring better options for us.
Well, just think a week ago how much additional
right.
Wattage we could have generated from a wind farm if it had survived the storm coming through. Jeremy Matlow, what do you think?
Yeah, this topic comes up a lot, and I mean, the answer is short. Climate change is real, and human beings are the cause of it. And if we don't get serious about changing our direction, it's going to be disastrous for the planet. I'm the only person in the seat 3 race who signed the pledge to get us to get away from fossil fuels by 2035. I think that's an achievable goal, but we need to get very serious about doing it because we can't wait for the federal government. We can't wait for the state government. Our energy independence is in our hands, and we have our own utility, which is a great way for us to move the needle. And, that's what I intend to do.
Just a moment remaining here, but here is a really good thing. Can you do what you want to do as a city commissioner, Jeremy Matlow, without having to increase property taxes or hike utility rates?
You know, I mentioned earlier so much of our general revenue comes from our utility. I think a lot of people are dissatisfied with the internet service they've gotten. Certainly we have Florida has slower speeds than the nation, and the nation has slower speeds than the world. So something we're proposing is a lot like what Chattanooga did, which generated a huge source of revenue through internet. I think that's a great way we can get better services, we can bring bigger industries to town, and at the same time create more revenue to invest in some of these things we need to do. Because at the end of the day, as we start going to renewable energy, we might not have the same profits that we have now from our utility, and we can't let that be a barrier between getting to where we need to go.
Okay, and for someone who's as good at a balance sheet as you are, Lisa Brown, can you do that too? Can you do what you think needs to be done by the city and you don't have to raise taxes or utility rates?
That is absolutely going to be my goal. Prior to, well, let me just take a step back here. So I have a reputation as a turnaround CEO. I have turned around multiple financial institutions. And one of the ways that I did that was just one of the processes that we, or the techniques, I should say, that we used to accomplish that is process improvement teams. And so when we talk about that, and granted, this is something that would be done at the city manager level, so this isn't necessarily something that as a city commissioner I would take some big action to do, but certainly my experience in doing this, I think I, you know, would be able to suggest this and provide this as an option and provide resources for this should it become necessary as far as budget wise. But using techniques like Six Sigma or basically process improvement teams where you go through and you say, you know what, it takes us, typically takes us 6 months to get a permit through, or let's say it's, you know, 18 months to get a permit through at the permitting department in Tallahassee. How can we make that 3 months, or how can we make it, you know, shorter? Let's look at all the steps that it takes to get us there, and let's look and see how we can become the most lean, mean, efficient machine that we can. You know, will really provide us with some cost savings, I think, in the long term. You know, I would like to look at those. So I think that, again, we go back to it's not a silver bullet here. We want to look at ways of reducing expenses, increasing revenue.
Lisa, hang on just a second. We'll continue this in just a moment here on our Facebook Live edition of Perspectives for a few more moments. And we'll be back tomorrow with Tallahassee City Commission candidate for seat 5.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.
Our special bonus edition of Political Perspectives here on Facebook Live on the WFSU public media site. Tom Flanagan along with the two candidates for Tallahassee City Commission seat 3, Lisa Brown, the president and CEO of the Tallahassee Federal Credit Union, and Jeremy Matlow, founder and Lord High Head Honcho of Gaines Street Pies, an ever-expanding enterprise, not only on Gaines Street, but you're opening new locations all the time.
Where we can.
Yeah, that's where we are. Lisa Brown, you had been talking again, and I want to give you full opportunity to finish your thought on this, because I know a lot of folks are following us here over onto Facebook Live here on, again, that revenue stream, lean and meanest city. I especially like the leanest part of that equation, as you were talking about ways to move an agenda forward without having to keep going back to the tax coffers for additional support for those sorts of things. Talk more about that, if you would.
Yeah, thank you. And sorry, being remote, it's difficult to kind of tell what's going on. So didn't mean to kind of overlap there. Yeah, so like I said, I have experience in running lean, mean organizations. That's what I do. And so granted, that is the job of the city manager, but I think it's also the job of the city commission, as, you know, as the board, to make sure that, you know, we're setting goals for efficiency, setting goals for and looking for those additional revenue opportunities, and just really making sure that the budget is spent in the areas that are the most impactful based on the strategic direction of the city that is set by what the community needs and what the community is asking for.
Something that the Tallahassee City Commission is going to have to continue to wrestle with, regardless of whether its former mayor, Andrew Gillum, becomes the next governor of Florida or not, because the prime composition of the Florida legislature will continue, at least for the foreseeable future, to probably be Republican. Nothing wrong with that, certainly. But those folks have had an inclination over the past several years to enact a lot of preemptive state law when it comes to saying, no cities and counties. We in Tallahassee, at least across the street from the courthouse at the legislature, we know what's best. And so there are fewer and fewer things that are now under the purview of local government. As a city commissioner, what would be your reaction to those ongoing things, whether it is gun control or the use of revenues to do certain things, or even can you use plastic bags or not? What's your take on that?
I'm sorry, Tom. Was that for me? I couldn't tell if you were asking me or.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Sorry. I just couldn't tell. No, I think home rule absolutely is. I would fight for home rule in just about any situation. I really, I just feel like our community needs a voice in making sure that, it's the that things that are happening here are the way that our community wants them to be. You know, there are very few instances where I would feel like that, you know, the state should be involved.
Okay, even if city commissioners personally were facing possible fines, imprisonment, that type of thing.
I'm not following what you mean by that, Tom. All right. Can you elaborate?
Yes, this had been part of, I believe it was the gun control preemption of several years ago, and this even went to court, and some of our current commissioners, including Gil Ziffer and Mayor Gillum, were fighting that in court, that if a city went against state law in these sorts of things, that individual city commissioners could be held liable legally. So you would fight it even if that were a possibility.
I think you have to look at that in each individual case. I absolutely would, as long as, I mean, I think that you've got to evaluate that on a case-by-case basis. I mean, it's so difficult to say exactly what, you know, what we would do. But yes, if it was the right thing to do, absolutely, even if I was held personally responsible, yes.
Oh, okay, fine. Jeremy Matlow, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the commission and led by Mayor Gillum showed incredible leadership when they said, we're not going to allow you to fire your guns in city parks. I think that's a responsible thing to do. It keeps our community safe, and there's no reason for it. And, you know, they went up against the NRA, took it through court, you know, at personal liability. They could be sued or, you know, even jailed. Like, these are ridiculous overreaches of the state government. You know, we should, things that should be handed down are constitutional rights and things that are guaranteeing civil rights. But when we start looking at wages or plastic bags, we're knocking on doors. We've knocked on thousands of doors in this community. Like, we know the needs of our area way more than the people who are down at the Capitol. So I think I'm a firm supporter of home rule. And I think you'll continue to see these things go to court like we've seen with the wage law that Miami Beach passed.
Folks, you have been really generous and gracious with your time. Just one final question here for each of you. And since we left off with you, Jeremy, we'll start back with you. Your top three priorities. You get the job. There you are. And on the dais in the Tallahassee City Commission chambers. And you've got your priorities. What are your top three?
Yeah, I'll give a few. Obviously, we're going to try to do a whole lot at once. We got a lot of issues that concern a lot of people. And, you know, we're going to tackle them as far as we can. Economic segregation's, I think, one of the biggest issues in our community. And it's really getting the CRA balance and getting investments into the areas to interject poverty as quick as possible. Campaign finance is a big issue for me. You know, I'm proposing we expand on the public option. So if we have good people who want to run for office, they're not reliant on the same types of people. And if they want to raise money from individuals, we'll have some sort of matching system. There's a lot of debate we can have of how we implement that. But I think going forward after Citizens United, it's something we need to have a strong conversation of. Number three, I would look at, you know, the way we're developing our community. Is it what people who live here want to see? Are we respecting our natural resources? Are we moving towards renewable energy? You know, the way we develop over the next 4, 8, 12 years is going to set the trajectory for the future. So those would be the top three, and then other ones would be things we talked about today.
Okay. And Lisa Brown, same question there. Your big top three when you sit there and look out over all the folks who are eagerly waiting to hear from you as a brand new Tallahassee City Commissioner.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as a turnaround CEO, I know what it means to juggle many priorities at once, and I think that that's exactly what we have to do in this case. We're really turning around this city. You know, we've got a lot of positive things going on, but we've definitely hit a road bump, and it's time to you know, turn us in the right direction. So my top three issues would be, you know, ethics, transparency, and accountability, making sure those things are on lockdown very quickly. My next issue would be, you know, crime and really having some good conversations about how we work together to address crime. What we know is that economic development and economic vitality and economic segregation, those things all kind of tie together. Those are the long-term solutions to our crime problem. And so we know that we've got to continue to work on those to really make a difference. And those, quite frankly, those aren't going to be the sexy solutions. We're not going to be able to see those. The impact on crime will be sort of long term, not that short term. But what we will see is families, like I see every day when, we go in and we get that family a car loan and transportation to get to and from work that they didn't have yesterday. We've got to make that difference so that families can be, moving the needle, and we can actually get folks, successful and engaged. So, really excited at that opportunity to take all that I've learned in economic development ideas and bringing those to our community.
Really appreciate your being on, Lisa, even though you had to do it telephonically because of the demands here.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to do that.
Thank you so much. Lisa Brown, the president and CEO of Tallahassee Federal Credit Union. Jeremy Matlow, the founder and the chief purveyor of Gain Street Pies. Thank you for being on Perspectives, too.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck to both of you folks here. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today by Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls. And our online connections providing video support for 4FSU are Suzanne Smith, Houston Brannon, Brandy Staney, Robbie Gaffney, and John Manson Hing. Tricia Moynihan there, too, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Tomorrow, of course, City Commission Seat 5, Bob Lotain and Diane Williams Cox. We will talk more then.